This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon. I'm Zoe Gabrielson, the host of Green Talks, a weekly radio show where we talk about initiatives on the UK campus and by UK students and faculty and staff that are meant to increase sustainability, and these initiatives are funded by the Student Sustainability Council. Today, I'm here with Gabriella Wolf, and we're going to be talking about some of the things that she's been working on with her River Otter project. Do you want to introduce yourself and tell people kind of a little bit about your project?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Gabriella Wolf. My name is Gabriella Wolf. I am the current master's student on this project. So I basically go out and collect data, work in the lab, look at fish, look at a lot of poop, and kind of try to figure out what these otters are eating.
Cool. So what made you decide to work on this topic?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. I originally came to Kentucky thinking I was going to do a different project, some sort of human dimensions project, doing some surveys, talking to people about predator reintroduction. But just as I moved here, my funding fell through. And then in a stroke of luck, the funding for this river otter project came through. And I guess I was just here at the right place at the right time. And they offered me the project and it sounded really great. And here I am about a year and a half later.
That's awesome. For a lot of initiatives, I know funding can be a big issue, so it's great that the SSC was able to contribute to helping you make that happen. So what was kind of the initial thing that you wanted to look at? What piqued your interest?
So there's two main reasons why this project is going on. I mean, this project is in New Mexico, and it's funded through New Mexico Game and Fish. And the reason they really want to know what these otters are eating because they're reintroduced and they're in the same region that there's various sensitive species. There's about four or five sensitive species in the same river. So we're working in the Rio Grande River, and government agencies kind of have this responsibility or obligation to prevent further decreases in population in sensitive species and to prevent obviously them going endangered or them going extinct in these regions. So they really, really want to know what they're eating in order to adjust their management styles. And that's kind of what we're trying to figure out, is what they're eating, how much of it they're eating, and if they're changing what they eat seasonally.
Cool. So you mentioned that some of your funding came from New Mexico. So what is the impact of this project here in Kentucky, since you're studying some river otters that are halfway across the country?
So luckily, river otters aren't very picky, so they don't have a favorite species of fish or anything. So we can take kind of the ecology of the fish that they're eating in New Mexico or anywhere else where they've been studied and kind of take the ecology and apply it to here to in Kentucky rivers and kind of extrapolate from what they're eating in another area to what they could possibly be eating here. And there have already been studies in this area, so we can kind of compare and see if there are differences regionally.
Cool. So that sounds like it's got a really big implications for research and for environmental knowledge. But what are some of the student impacts that have been created because of this project?
Yes. So luckily, we have funding from the SSC, and we're able to fund, I think currently we have eight interns working, so eight undergrad interns that are working in the lab. They come in and they basically rinse the fecal matter off of these remains that we have, go through it, sort it, and then write it up and try it. So we're also currently developing a prey ID key, so they're going to be creating a key and using this key to identify species. So it's a lot of lab experience that they're going to be gaining.
That's awesome. That seems like something that would definitely help to prepare students for grad school if that was something that they were interested in. So you were also recently approved for funding a new device, and it's not available yet, but can you tell us a little bit about what it is?
Yes, I'm actually really excited, and I'm going to geek out on like microscopes for a second. I was reading a lot of papers, and they've been doing just a lot of amazing work with software that you can actually load pictures of scales, and with statistical and image analysis type software, you can compare the differences and kind of create a program that can sort scales into species or into groups that are very similar. And from there, we can go, these are in the same family, or these are in the same genus, or these are in the same species. And it's actually really, really cool. And I'm really excited because we have this ability now, where before it would just be us using a Canon camera to take a picture and kind of guess at it.
Cool. Well, technology is always something that's a great resource. So eventually, and like we said, not yet, because you're still working on the details, but those are going to be something that are available for students, right?
Yes.
Cool.
So there's a lot of different applications you can have with these microscopes because it's image analysis software. So depending on what software is available can determine what you can do with these microscopes. So a lot of people have looked at leaf shapes, just the leaf area to determine photosynthetic rates. You can look at insects and fish and take pictures of them and photograph their development from a larva to a full-grown adult. It's just really awesome.
That's cool. So that sounds like kind of like how are you saying that the River Otter Project in New Mexico is going to be applicable here in Kentucky, that this is a resource that'll be applicable even to students that are studying things in other disciplines. So
exactly.
Yeah. It's going to be really cool to have that equipment when it is on campus to help students develop meaningful research. So what's been, would you say, the most challenging part of this project?
I think coming to terms with the fact that no one knows everything, and the more you learn about your research topic or your research field, the more you realize that you don't know anything at all. And sometimes you kind of feel like you're just winging it. And when you talk to your supervisors or even their supervisors, you learn that sometimes they feel like they're winging it. So science isn't necessarily an exact science. And it's just, there's a lot of leeway in what you can do with what you have.
That's awesome. I think that's something that can be feel like kind of a barrier to some people, that the day they start, they don't know everything. But it's good to hear that somebody like you feels that way, since you're already pretty accomplished, and that other professionals feel that way, so that people know that they're not alone in feeling like that.
Definitely. Imposter syndrome is so real, and it is present at every single level.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so you talked about your challenge of the project. What was the most rewarding part of it?
I think the fact that I was able to find the SSE and get these funds and actually bring in people and have a contribution, a monetary contribution to this project, because a lot of the times you're in research, you're basically limited to what money you have, and you can always have really cool ideas, but if there's no money for it, then you can't really go with what you want to do. And now that we have these funds, we're able to expand what we're able to do and hopefully create some progress in what technology we do have.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know we see all kinds of projects in the SSC. In our recent workshop, which we held, we had people from all different disciplines, tons of different interests that told us about their projects. And it's really cool to get to see different kinds of projects because, you know, some weeks we might see something about otter poop and other weeks we see something about climate change or agriculture or pollinator health. And we've talked with our listeners know that we've talked about several of these topics on the show before, but it's always cool to hear different perspectives. So what lessons have you learned while investigating the otters?
Well, I think the biggest lesson is that even though you're studying something really cool, like, say, river otters, there's no guarantee that you'll actually ever see one. I have yet to see one in the field, and every time I've gone out to New Mexico, I'm always planning on waking up early to try to find them, and I can never find them. So this project has turned into just a me finding a lot of poop, but never seeing a river otter.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought about that, but they are very cute and cuddly.
Yeah.
So I hope you find one.
I'm looking forward to the day that I actually see one in the wild. So far, it's just been at the zoo.
Yeah, but that's pretty cool, too. Sometimes they're floating around, and they've got their little shells on their stomachs. Before we get too carried away talking about how cute otters are, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Gabriella talking more about her project. We are back, and I'm here with Gabriella Wolf, and she was just talking to me about her river otters project and some of the things that she's learned during that project and some of the ways that it's had an impact both in New Mexico and probably here in Kentucky in the next few years. We know the student impacts there, so I think it's going to be really cool. So we were just talking about how cute river otters are, but kind of more on the practical side or educational side, what would you say are some fun facts about otters that people should know?
Okay, so river otters, there's always some confusion into like what the difference between a river otter and a sea otter is. I actually, when I first started presenting on this, I actually used the wrong picture and was called out and told that I had a sea otter on my presentation and not a river otter. So the way you can tell a difference between a river otter and a sea otter is, one, river otters actually spend 2/3 of their life on land, and sea otters spend almost all of their life in water. Obviously, they eat different things. One's in the sea, one's in rivers, but they can cross paths. Sea otters are bigger. River otters are just more tube-shaped. They're darker. They're not fluffy. I kind of tell people they're not as cute and cuddly as a sea otter, and they don't do the hand holding thing.
Aww.
So they're not as cuddly. Also, another fact that I actually recently learned is that because they have a really fast metabolism, something they eat like, and I study poop, so I know kind of a lot of poop facts about them, is that river otters, they take about an hour to digest a meal. So it just moves right through them.
Cool. Yeah. That's interesting. So then in the coming months or years, when do you think the equipment will be available? Or
hopefully
are you not sure?
Next semester.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
So if students do want to access that, it sounds like it has quite a versatile range of things that it can be helpful with for research. How would they learn more about that? Would they just email you?
Yeah. So my email, I don't know if you guys can make it available to on their website, but it's GabriellaWolf@uky.edu. And hopefully by next semester, we can have a room dedicated for their use and have some sort of sign-up page where you can come in, get some training, and eventually come in without supervision and take some really cool pictures.
Awesome. Well, I think that wraps up all the questions I have for you. So unless you have any other things you'd like to throw in.
Actually, I would like to kind of praise some of my interns. So I have currently two undergrad interns, Keely Cohen and Adam Wagner. They're both doing their undergrad research on my project. Keely is working with microbeads, and she is actually categorizing and describing microbeads in the diet because we have been finding a lot of plastic in the scat, so we kind of want to describe it. Hopefully, in the future, someone can do another project and actually go deeper into what the issue is and why there's plastic in the otter poop. And Adam's actually looking at toxicology, and he's trying to learn what kind of heavy metals are present in river otters and see if those are normal in quotations or not, and if anything needs to be done to manage the water quality. So it's really, they're doing really cool work, and I'm really proud of them, and I'm excited.
Heavy Metal Otters sounds like the name of a really good band. But all right, I think that's all we have for today. Thank you guys for listening. We're gonna get back to the music, and as always, this has been Green Talks, where we talk about the sustainability initiatives that have been funded by the Student Sustainability Council, which is a student organization that allocates over $200,000 each year to support sustainability initiatives at UK. Thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you.
All right, and we're gonna get back to the music right about now.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream. at WRFL.FM, and of course via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.FM/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.